Hello, I'm Terry Cheek. You're listening to Crisis and Concern for October 8, 2016. Welcome to a program that addresses current events and their solutions as found within God's Word. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download at theinspiringword.org. And we're also available on iTunes as the Inspiring Word Podcast. On today's program, we're going to discuss a subject which has very serious consequences for God's people and the entire planet. The subject, is the church dumbing itself down theologically? Why would I even consider such a thing? Well, as a pastor, preacher, Bible teacher, broadcaster, and especially a born-again Christian, I have noticed some very troubling changes within the church, especially the church in America. On this podcast, I want to explain to you the importance of doctrine and theology within the church. That's correct. Those topics are not reserved for the seminary student. Do you realize in the 16th, 17th, 18th, and even 19th and 20th centuries that churches taught Bible doctrine and even theology? That's right. The local church taught Bible doctrine and theology. How do I know this? Because those comprising and joining the church participated in something called catechesis. I wonder how many listening, especially church leaders, have any idea what that word means. Well, let me try another word which is related to it, catechism. The two are deeply conjoined with one another. Catechesis is teaching that is given to individuals in preparation for baptism or confirmation for membership. The catechism is the questioning of the candidate regarding their knowledge of Bible doctrine and theology. Now think about that. There was a time in church history, even in America, when those coming before the church for membership would have to set before a committee and would have to answer questions regarding their knowledge of doctrine and theology. Think of that. Think of that for a moment and let that sink in. Would have to set before a council and actually answer questions about their knowledge of doctrine and theology. That would mean they would have to be taught doctrine and theology. In my opinion, public pressure has been the culprit regarding the abandonment of catechesis and catechism. You see, it became socially acceptable to join a church and to be considered a Christian. Only it was an inconvenience to be expected to learn all of the doctrine, the theology, and even the discipline involved with being a redeemed Christian. Now think of that. We got to a point in the church where this person, this family, this group wanted to be in the church, and they brought with it money. They brought with them prestige. They brought with them a name that would socially elevate the perception of the church in the eyes of the community or even the nation. Why? How could we deny these people that opportunity? The church put itself in a position where we were for sale. We became the Laodicean church. Some would argue, well, Christ didn't expect that from his disciples. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Christ did not teach his disciples godly doctrine and theology? Read not just the Gospels, but read your entire Bible. You say, well, Christ is represented only in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where we see his teachings. If that's your understanding of the Bible and your understanding of Christ's teachings, then it only goes to prove the points that I am making on this broadcast. In John 1:1, the Word was God, the Word was with God. The Word became flesh. The Word was Jesus, and Jesus was present in the beginning. The Trinity has been present since before the creation of earth, the creation of the universe, the creation of you and I and mankind. The entire words of our Bible are the words of Jesus. So when we are looking at the Old Testament or the New Testament, we're looking at the words of Jesus. So when we look at that, do we really and honestly believe that Christ did not teach his disciples doctrine and theology, did not teach them what God expected? Now I'm going to share with you some information. Credible, relevant, contemporary information. If we ask the average church member today how knowledgeable they are about church, many, if not most, would say they were very knowledgeable. And as measured in the 21st century, they are probably accurate. I'm going to share with you the results of a Lifeway survey. Lifeway identified 586 participants out of a group of 3,000 respondents as evangelical. These 586 evangelicals are folks who believe the Bible is their highest authority, that personal evangelism is important, and that trusting Jesus' death on the cross is the only way of salvation. Okay, that is the criteria for determining an evangelical. So listen to this. 56% of those 586 say the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is a divine force, but not a personal being. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in God's Word as He. He, a personal noun. He, an individual. He, someone, not something. But yet 56% of evangelicals do not realize this. They consider the Trinity, they consider the third person, the Holy Spirit, as some kind of divine force. Folks, we're not talking about Star Wars. We're not talking about may the force be with you. We are talking about the triune Godhead. Evangelical Christians who are sitting in churches, service after service after service, many of them do not understand the doctrine of the Trinity. That should be troubling. Pastor, that should be troubling. Deacon and elder, that should be troubling. Sunday school directors and education pastors, that should be troubling. More of this information, 66% of those 586 evangelicals claim heaven is a place where all people will ultimately be reunited with loved ones. Now, these are the same folks who said that Jesus is the only way of salvation, but 66% of them contradict themselves by saying that heaven is a place where all people will be reunited with their loved ones. With their loved ones, not united with the head of the church, not united with Christ. Their response had nothing to do with Christ. It had everything to do with them and their loved ones and the loved ones of others. Make us feel good. Make us feel comfortable. Make Christianity convenient. Now, I believe in compassion, more so than what many of you may think from this broadcast. But understand this, God's Word is God's Word. We cannot rewrite it. Doctrine is doctrine. Theology is theology. And we have a church culture today where many people who are involved in that church culture do not understand the doctrines that they are claiming and do not understand the doctrines they're teaching. Now, of the remaining 3,000 who participated in the survey, 60% say that God cannot err. Okay, that's simple enough, isn't it? God cannot sin. God cannot make an error. And that God is the author of the Bible. Yet, do you realize that less than half of those 3,000 are willing to affirm the Bible God wrote is 100% accurate? Now, if God cannot err, and if the Bible is authored by God, how can it be less than 100% accurate? Where do we come up with these ideas? Where do we come up with these thoughts, these opinions, these doctrines? And what church leader, what pastor is giving an affirmation of these things? That same 3,000, 66% of them admit everyone's sins, yet they also contradict themselves by saying and insisting upon people are good by nature. Then this group insists only those who accept Jesus will be saved and continue to insist that everyone will eventually make it to heaven, though we're not told exactly how that's going to happen. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible consistently teaches that man is born in depravity, separated from God, and at the point in time in our lives when we become convicted and become aware of our spiritual state, we become accountable and responsible for that sin nature, and then we have the responsibility of accepting and acknowledging the Holy Spirit's call for us to repent and for Jesus Christ to redeem us. We cannot be good by nature and be sinners by nature. We can't be both. We cannot be a people who says, yes, we all sin, but we're all good. We didn't really mean it. Unintentional sin is still unintentional sin. Sin is sin. It comes from the heart. It comes from a separation of God. I have said in many broadcasts and in many messages, we are not called sinners because we sin. However, we sin because we are sinners by nature. Sin is evidence of who we are. It is not evidence that condemns us of what we do. It is evidence of who we are. 70% of those 3,000 believe God accepts the worship of all other religions, even those that deny the Trinity or worship other deities. 70% believe that God accepts the worship of other religions. Again, there's no justifications. There's nothing written about how they feel this way, why they feel this way, where they get their beliefs from. Who is giving credence to this? I have no idea. But the percentages were there in the survey. It's troubling. It is troubling that these ideas are running rampant in the world, and especially in our America, in a nation that was established from the Mayflower Compact to be a place of worship that came from a Puritan system of Reformed Christians, of Protestant Reformed Christians. Where did this come from? How did we get here? More so, why did we get here? Why are we sitting at this point and at this place in history right now having to have this conversation? Something else. 61% correctly say that Jesus is both human and divine, but half think he is also the first and greatest being created by God rather than existing eternally as Scripture and ancient creeds of faith teach. If Jesus is both human and divine, how did he wind up being a creation of God? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. Folks, we are selling ourselves out to false doctrine. Church, you are standing idly by and you are allowing this false doctrine to run rampant through your buildings, through your congregations, pastors, stand up. Stand up and make a position for Bible doctrine and Bible theology. These are only a few of the many doctrine and theological problems facing the church and America today. The greatest concern is not the departure of doctrine, but the contradiction of the answers. To say that there is a group of people that have moved into America and have taken an anti-Christian view or an anti-Christian doctrine and tried to propagate it, that has happened throughout history. But to see people that are sitting in churches week after week after week have a contradictory view of Christian doctrine and Christian theology is troubling. It shows that Americans in general, and evangelicals in particular, don't know the correct answers about basic Christianity. They don't have any idea what is known. They don't have any idea what is out there. They don't understand what they do know. What they read every week in their group studies, in their Bible studies. There is a disconnect taking place. An intellectual, heart-established disconnect. Now, I want to share something with you. This survey was taken in 2014. How much farther have we gone down the confused road we've chosen to travel? Over 2 years ago, this survey was taken, and it is a Lifeway survey. It isn't my survey. It isn't some off-the-cuff seminary survey. This was done by Lifeway Christian Resources. So what's the answer? If we hope to preserve not only evangelical faith in the generations to come, and even preserve Christianity itself, We must take theological instruction seriously again. We must insist that church members know what they align themselves with and not be allowed to write their own doctrine and their own theology. Not be allowed to bring in a mindset of, well, we will see. We will see. We will figure it out as we go. No. When you align yourself with Christianity, you come as a redeemed, regenerated, born-again Christian, you should know and understand the doctrines that come with that. And before you align yourself with a congregation of believers, you should be compelled to agree doctrinally with what the Word of God says. Pastors and leaders must return to being leaders. They must insist that our membership candidates know the basic tenets of Christianity. That means our leaders themselves must know these tenets of Christianity first. And that, I believe, is a foundational problem to this whole issue. Leaders, pastors, deacons, and elders are theologically and doctrinally starved. That, or they do not have the backbone to stand up and make a firm commitment of saying, no one joins this church unless they know what they're joining. I hope this broadcast has been a blessing to your walk with the Lord. Our desire is to reach as many people as possible, and to accomplish this, we need your help. By sharing our podcast and our website with others, you will help us share God's Word around the world. Will you help us by telling others about the inspiring Word? You can find us by reading the Blue Ridge Christian News. You can find us by visiting theinspiringword.org, or you can find us through the iTunes podcast as The Inspiring Word. Thank you, and until next time, may God keep you firmly in His grip.